Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ah, here we are. Welcome to Title 24, presented by NBC Sports. With you, myself, Ricky Carmichael, and Ryan Villopoto, coming to you each week. This is season two. We're excited to be here with you guys. Thanks to United Motorsports, Quad Lock Case, Boxo USA, and Dunlop Tires. Dunlop Tires is a new partner this year for season two. And, you know, great weekend off. RV, you are traveling. You were out east riding as well, right? How was that? Pretty good?
Yeah. Been really busy. Was out at Randy Hawkins' place for the 2024 YZ FX media intro launch. And then I landed home on Saturday, flew back out Sunday, and now I'm in Park City for ski week with the kids. So yeah, it's been on the go, and we are remote today, myself anyways, and looking forward to the show, man. It's good.
There you go. Yes sir. Well, I'll be remote. We both got a couple of busy weeks coming up. Everyone that listens or watches Title 24, Ryan and I do have jobs. good kind of jobs, stuff that we want to do. So I'll be working remotely and on the pod for the next couple of weeks as well. So good stuff, all good stuff. You guys will love it. So what we like to do here on Title 24 is engage with the fans, and we're going to get right into it because it was an off weekend. This gives us an opportunity to get back to the fans and all these questions that you guys have been asking all season. So what we've done this week is we've come up with some rapid fire fan questions. I'm going to read some of the questions, and well, all of the questions, and RV is going to give us some quick answers. There's a couple that I would like to chime in on as well, but trying to pay you guys back for all the engagement. So RV, are you ready to do this, my man?
Let's do this. Yeah, game show right here.
that's right, dude. All right, first one, DP Gill 23. Does Jet have it figured out this early on in his 450 career? Does Chase Sexton come back and give Jet a run for his money? Take it away, champ.
Well, I do think that Jet, for as young as he is, as much as he's raced, he does have it very, very well figured out. We're seeing these little mistakes from him currently, but no, I do think he has it figured out. I don't know if Chase is going to be able to bridge that gap over the entire season. Yes, I think Chase is going to get better. I think he's going to win some more races, but all in all, for championship hunt, he's going to have to bridge that gap a bit more.
Oh, perfect. Okay, number two, Fab Pal 10. Will anyone be able to run Jet down and be able to pass him? It hasn't been done yet.
Yeah, is anybody going to be able to run Jet down? That's going to be hard. I think it's going to come down to somebody's going to have a perfect weekend, and that means either Eli, Chase, AP. We have not seen Jet been caught and passed. Right. I'm waiting to see that point, but right now he's the one coming through the pack with these bad starts. So we haven't seen it yet. Even Kenny, we're looking at Kenny Anderson. All these guys have the potential to do that if Jet is on a little bit of an off weekend. But so far, thus far, we have not seen anybody be able to pass through Jet and come up to the front. It's always Jet coming to the front.
Dude, I love it. MX Goosey, kind of similar question. If Jet is out in front, is Kenny the only rider that can catch and pass him? If not, who can? So you're going to – that kind of baits you up a little bit.
Yeah.
You're going to pick some dudes off here if you
– Yeah, exactly. Careful. So, I mean, honestly, for the riders that are on the line, I'm going to say Kenny is capable of running that pace, catching Jet.
I agree. Potentially.
Same with Chase on good weekends for him. I don't think he's really found his stride yet. He's had a couple good races, but also a couple bad ones. Anderson too. He's one of those guys you don't really know what you're going to get out of him every single weekend, and he can come out just swinging some of these weekends. So I could see him potentially doing that. Let's see, who else am I forgetting, Ricky?
There's so many guys, RV, that honestly could do exactly what you're saying. If they're in the right place at the right time, yep. Eli could do that if he is on one. Kenny certainly can. Maybe even El Hombre on the right track. Cooper Webb on a really tight technical track, right? Like an Indy, something like that, where there's short shoots or short lanes. There's so many guys that can. I mean, for me, RV, I don't want to like sit here and guess and speculate. All those guys that you mentioned that I mentioned, they can, but they better be on it. That's what I think.
100%. Right now, Jet is in his own league right now because he is the only one coming through the pack. Yeah. He's the only one that's been able to stay pretty consistent through this. Couple wins already on the season. So the boys have some work to do.
There you go. Excuse me for not getting this name right, but it's either Charlton 74 or Carlton 74 if the H is silent. Can Kenny go back-to-back this weekend in Arlington and make himself a title threat?
Arlington, yes. I think that he potentially can at Arlington with that track layout, with that dirt. It could work in his favor. I think his motorcycle is working well, and I also think he's working well with the motorcycle. He knows that, just watching him, he's in a very good place. He's happy. He's comfortable. And I think that's what Kenny needs to win some more races this year.
Riley Addison's, how do you think Chase Sexton will push through his hand injury moving to Arlington?
You know, a good thing we have this weekend off, right, with these little nagging injuries that we already see, this soon into the series. It's good to kind of have these weekends off. So I presume the hand injury is going to, I'm not saying it's going to be gone, but it should be substantially better. Could get a little time off the bike, get some therapy into that hand. And hopefully, it's probably not going to be 100%, but, look, there's a lot of times myself, you and a whole laundry list of riders that go out and race and win races, with nagging injuries. So that's what he's going to have to do. He's going to come out swinging in Arlington.
Dang. Love it. Yes. Okay. Next, Jinx Mama. Does Eli get one more pass for Arlington? Good question. And we wait to see what happens in Daytona. Are we giving him a pass, RV? That's a good question.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, let's go ahead and give him a pass at Arlington. I don't think anybody has seen Eli's true potential this season just yet. And if we're going to see it, Daytona seems like it's his home place. Let's call it home, where he's really, really feels comfortable. He gets his riding style suits Daytona SX pretty well in the past from what we've all seen. He's a master of that place. So yes, let's give him a pass here at Arlington, and let's put all of our let's put our magnifying glasses down and let's watch at Daytona.
Yeah, I think it to add on that, RV, I heard that Eli might be somewhere in the vicinity where around where I live, trying to improve that bike. So that'll be interesting to see. And just to expand on it real quick, I know this is rapid fire. I agree with you. I want to give him one more pass because points wise, he still has time to get it together. He's not, he's not below that 24 point mark yet. He is, let's see here. We're looking at the points. He's 17 points back. If he gets outside of 20, I think that he's going to have his hands full. But if he can maintain that getting into Daytona and he gets back to championship form, I think he deserves, and he's earned that pass
for sure.
Yep. All right. Birdine 28. Who in the premier class has the most to gain or lose this weekend? Oof.
Ooh, Aaron, can we get that points list up real quick if we got time for that?
Throw that points up.
Let's see here that we see. I would say that gain. I'm going to say Anderson and Coop have everything to gain, and let's put it on Jet and Chase for a lot to lose. Right, Chase is sitting six down right now off of Jet. AP's hovering around nine down, but I think that Coop, right? Where I think I've said this in the past on the show that I think that he's going to be in this for the long haul. He's showing that he is. He's only 10 points down. So I would say Coop is probably out of those right now is the biggest one to come out of Arlington swinging and making sure that he's ready for Daytona.
Yeah, I think that I think Aaron Plessinger is a guy that needs a bounce back. He's been riding well. He certainly has. I feel like I know he's different this year, but I feel in the years past, he's kind of rides on emotion. And if things aren't going well, like he gets off kilter, if you will. Yep. So that's kind of what I'm going to be looking for going into Arlington as far as pertaining to that question. So we'll see what happens. All right. MX Goosey's back again. With five winners in six rounds, can we possibly see more winners than the last 5 years?
So let's see, MX Goosey. I think that our winners are going to start to decline. I think that once we get to get through Arlington, we hit this Daytona section, and that's when we kind of consider as racers, even though it's not really true halfway. We consider it halfway. I think the winning streaks or the winners are going to start to condense, and we're going to get two or three that are going to start to where cream always rises to the top. And I think that's what's going to happen towards the end of this season.
Yeah, especially some guys, as you know, RV, they start losing touch of that championship. And just ironically, your will and desire to go out there and give it that extra effort to win, unless it's there laid out on the silver platter for you, is much harder. Yeah. All right, Russ 219, what is the difference in performance between the top 20 bikes today compared to in the day? So basically, probably my day. If you want me to answer this, I can. I think just 450s have made things a little easier to do obstacles. The first thing that comes off of mind to me, RV, is like if you're going to triple out of a corner, you don't have to absolutely get the corner just right to have the power to do so. Where when you're on a 252 stroke or certainly a 125 two stroke, like in my day, you had to hit the rhythms perfect to jump to triples on the 125s and then the 250s. If you wanted to triple out of a corner, you had to really get the corner right, especially later on in that main event. So giving you a break on that one. That's the differences. And make no mistake about it, the data that these guys have and the starting devices, they're taking the technique elements. Not that there isn't technique to getting off of grates, metal grates. I'm not saying that, but it is a little more turnkey for these guys. So there you go. All right, Mickey's D. I was thinking of those little beers, Mickey D, or Mickey's there was. Okay,
Mickey's
D. How do you utilize a week off? Hard training or try and relax and recoup?
Well, I think if you're Chase Sexton, right, you are rehabbing your hand, but also the engine as your core, your engine, what you need to work on. You're still out there doing the cardio stuff. It's never an off weekend, right? You're always keeping up that your fitness side of it. Now you might not add a ton of load to your program at this time in the season, but you are going to maintain what you have so that as these later rounds start to come in, you haven't lost anything. So I know the body wants to take a break. I've been in that position. You're like, man, I just want to take a break. But in the long haul, when you start seeing these 18, 19, at the total of our SMX rounds that we have, you need to keep that fitness up. So yes, it is. Mainly it's a mental stress that is relieved because you don't have to fly on Friday. You don't have to race and you don't have to fly back on Sunday. So that's a huge load off your shoulders. Just that alone.
Boom. Okay. We're past the halfway mark on the rapid fan fire question. All right, so T-Bell, 1995, does Forkner – I think this is what we're all looking for. Does Forkner stay consistent at the top? The Deegs back for revenge this weekend? What do you think? Two-tiered question.
Yeah, so Austin's looking like good form, man. Austin's looking good form. I haven't seen him this consistent in a while. He rode well. Obviously, he wasn't under a ton of pressure either. So it's going to be interesting to see when he does get put under the pressure, can he maintain this form that he showed at round one? And I think Hayden's going to come out swinging. He, you know, with that first turn crash, the bars, his bike being totally mangled. You know, really hard to do anything with that. So I think he's coming out for redemption. He needs to get knocked down some wins quickly to recover in the point situation.
Somewhat of a home race for Austin Forkner this weekend. Remember, he's from the Midwest, so think about that little extra fire. He also got hurt here. Remember when him and Jet collided there on the finish line?
Remember that. That was a big one,
right? Right. Keep that in mind. And so I think in general, so like a lot of people are going to ask us and you, RV, aside from you and I on this podcast, like as far as I want to see Austin do well, but I don't know. That's why I'm excited to watch the races every single weekend and see if he can keep the consistency up. So I don't have the right answer. My heart, my gut is telling me that he does have it figured out this year. But that's why we watch. So kind of adding on to what you say. All right, okay. Carlton 74. If Deegan doesn't win this weekend, is the championship out of reach for him?
I mean, in an 8-race series, it is definitely. If he sits on top of the box or on the box, second or third, he still has. There is time to recover. He's not actually out of the points mathematically, right? But as these races start to click off, you know, pretty soon they only have a couple races left. It makes it hard. Where are we sitting, Deegan?
He's 19 back, I think, right?
19 back. So this is all
we're only. I think. We may not have him. He's not even on. Dude, he's not even on the board. So
yeah.
I don't know. Here's what I think, RV. You tell me if I'm wrong. If you get a guy like Forkner, and you just have to think Anstey and Forkner, okay. Those guys are capable. If they run up front every single weekend and Deegs doesn't have a good weekend this weekend, I think it's going to be tough for him. I really do.
I would agree. Like we just watched, for the viewers that watch us on YouTube, we were looking at the running order there in points. And yeah, being that he's not even inside the top 10 and what in 10th was sitting 13 back. I can just beat on this section right here the 250 class is the short racing, meaning there's only eight rounds. That's so hard to come back from. So yes, he needs a rebound this weekend. If not, it's definitely gonna be hard.
Jacob Chin, is McAdoo a title threat if he stays healthy? I think his speed is slept on.
Yes, Cameron has some speed, and he's one of the hardest workers out there. Tries obviously very, very hard, and sometimes too hard actually. So I think Cameron needs to clean up his racing, right? The little mistakes that we see on the track. If you guys really pay attention, there's always these little mistakes that Cam makes that ultimately hinders him from I think having better positions than he should. So yeah. I'm hoping the kid works really hard. You know, he obviously we all saw what happened at round one, and he fought through it, raced through it, was still stayed out on the track. So the guy's got heart. That's all I can say.
Yep, he does. All right, dude, this guy's been around for a while, or this person has been around for a while. NJP. Has the showing of Triumph and Beta been good enough to lure top riders at the right price? I'm going to, since I'm a Triumph guy.
Yeah, go for it.
I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that we have more manufacturers coming in with Beta, with Triumph. You got Ducati right around the corner. Listen, make no mistake about it. The money talks. And if it's Beta, if it's Triumph, if it's Ducati, if they are throwing out some serious money, to an A-lister, 100%. I think that being what's the word I'm looking for, RV? not deferential, but you know, if I'm picking sides because I'm a Triumph guy, I feel like that bike is good enough. So getting an A-lister for sure. They're going to have to spend a little more money than, say, maybe a more proven manufacturer on the MX-SX category right now. But yeah, I think that they both manufacturers have proven that they have a bike that is competitive. So that's what
I agree. I agree. I think the Triumph had a very good showing there round one. There's a lot to learn. Like these guys jumping in and, you know, beta Triumph, like you said, Ducati, there's a lot to learn. There's this is crazy the amount of development that goes in. So I'm stoked to see it. But yes, money always talks. But I will say that Triumph right now is it looks, the bike looks really good. It's a very, it's a beautiful looking bike. And those boys rode them pretty well. So I think we're going to see it's definitely going to be an option for these riders next year after Triumph gets this first season under their belt and they, and these other riders get to see, where the bike's good at, maybe where it's not so good at, and also just how the teams ran. I think, okay, now everybody's going to be like, okay, they're legit. And you know, I'm going to take a chance. Right. So,
yeah. You just have to assume we're watching Jalik Swole for the people just listening. We're watching a replay from him and his debut on that Factory Triumph Racing machine, getting sixth place. And it was a hard-fought sixth place. He had to work it to get into the main event when he got cleaned out by Pierce Brown in the heat race. And then he fell in the first corner. So I expect that race team has made some improvements and have learned how the bike works in a race situation. As you know, RV, nothing works in the race like it works at the test track. So I think that they will continue to improve. All right, five laps to go here on the rapid fire fan questions. Christopher Parrish, what's it like being at the top of the sport? Lonely, perhaps? Love the show. Thank you.
That's a great question.
It is.
It's a great question for somebody that, like myself now, that's 35 years old. I can look back and I can reflect on my career. But when you're also in it and you're racing every single weekend and you're in these pressure cooker situations to win championships, Supercross, outdoors, Monster Cup and all these things, that definitely gets tiring. That gets long on the tooth for sure. Just the mental stress of that. But now that I've been retired for almost 9 years now, all I can say is the older I get, I look back, the cooler it was. And luckily, pretty much my whole career has been documented on YouTube, right? So my kids that are 7 can go back and look. And when I go out to see and get to watch that stuff, man, is it really cool. But holy, did it go by really fast also. And everybody told me that. But man, when you live inside of that pressure cooker, you don't have time to come up and breathe and see and really – and reflect and enjoy where you're at because of how much pressure is on you to go and race and win.
Yep. I second what RV says, my man. He is exactly right. The sacrifice certainly is worth it. It is lonely at the top. You're like a recluse. But in the position that RV and I have been lucky enough to be in now where we are at, we're very fortunate. And you know what? Being a recluse and not having a whole bunch of friends at the time, although it may have seemed lonely, was definitely worth it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it can be lonely. All right, JTP Merp 02. Who is the best leader in the industry, and what is the best leadership advice you can give? Ooh, does it have to be a rider? Does it have to be? That's a good question.
Yeah, a little open. But I would say, look, I think that I've said this before, that I love the characters that these riders are playing. And I had read a comment actually when I, it was an AP comment that I had said, like, I love the character he's playing. And somebody kind of was rat balling me on there. I was like, oh, he's not playing this character, blah, blah, blah. You know how the fans are sometimes, they get a little chirpy. And I'm like, yes, but if you know AP on like a normal, as a friend, like I know him and on a normal level, like is he that guy that we see on TV? Yes, he is. But he's also, he's put it under a magnifying glass. He's bigger than life. And that's what I like to see. Hayden Deegan, AP, you know, all these guys now that are you know, coming out of their shell and becoming more of a personality is exactly what we need. I've said this before. I hate when these guys ring out all their sponsors. And look, sponsors, we know that you guys like to get your name called out, but I love to see these guys just throwing out a good interview and being who they want to be. And the fans are loving it. Like AP, for example, he's got probably one of the thickest followings, one of the strongest followings. And it's who he is. He finally knocked down his very first race this year and win. And man, it's just, I love to see where it's going with these riders magnifying their character.
To your point, yeah, great. I think he is for certainly the character. I think we got a great group of characters as well. I mean, there's great guys. I think there's influential people in our industry. I think there's a lot of influential people on the industry in general that don't race. Yep. There's a laundry list of guys that RV and I have worked with. So there's so many guys that there's too many to mention, but there's certainly a lot of people off the track that don't race that are good for this sport behind the scenes, I believe, which this is a good one. This segues into DB Shaner 5. How come nobody ever showboats on the last lap like McGrath or Pastrana did? Well, you know what, RV? I think they can thank me and you. I did it the early years. Like
saw it on the opener. Your what was it? A can off the side?
Yeah.
There?
Boom. Like so everyone knows. And RV, I don't think you and I have never talked about this. Hell, I've never even talked about this. I'll never forget this. Like when my first season in 97, my biggest thing, RV, was like, dude, I want to win so I can do a parade lap so bad. Like and take a victory lap. That was the thing. Like that was kind of like the incentive, like screw winning the race. I just want to be able to win the race so I can go out and do a gnarly fat whip off the triple. So I just, myself personally, I feel like those days are gone. And it's important for those guys to get back to the TV stuff as well. You know, like we're on live television and you got to get back. The people on the podium are waiting. So there's an element of that. However, I do feel like they could celebrate a little bit more. It'd be cool to see that.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. But the other thing is, as we watched last year at Detroit AP, I mean, he was on his two to go, one to go. And we watched him have that gnarly get off. You know, anything can happen. So it's best to do the showboating and maybe the sprinkler and the dancing and jumping in the water afterwards. Make sure you knock down that, get that win out of the way, get that bonus check actually cashed across the line before doing something like that. Only because, I mean, Millville 99 or 98 RC.
That's right. 98.
90. Yeah. I know Langston. It got Langston, I think, for
Houston. That was Houston. 2001. I was there.
2001 on a KTM 250, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. He tried. Yeah. He did a one hander, did whatever off the triple. And then there was like, it was a gnarly
steep landing.
Yeah, no, it was a steep landing, and then there was like a 3 5-footers afterwards where you could triple into the corner, and it was pretty difficult. Like you had to time it properly, and the last 5-footer into the turn where you triple over, it was a steep landing, dude, and he just barely clipped it and was gone. Go on YouTube today and look at those two. Oh, I forgot about that. That one in 98 Millville was hilarious. All right, Logan. Lucia, sorry for butchering the name, but is the race / venue that all fans should go to at least once? Oof, there's
I'll
a couple.
Let you take, go I'll for let you it. Take that. Okay, I'll take it. So everybody's got to go see Red Bud, for a national. I'm trying to think. Bud's Creek's always a
good Motocross of Nations. Got to do Motocross of Nations. Got to.
Yeah, yeah. If you're talking event-wise, yes, Motocross of Nations. That is the pinnacle of two-wheel racing, motocross and supercross racing. It's Motocross of Nations. If you've never been, and I promise you, you won't be let down, especially try to get over to Europe to watch one. We do a great job here in the States. Don't get me wrong, but when you go to Europe, it's a different animal, and you guys will love it.
Yeah, Daytona is good, and yep. I would say Daytona Supercross is one, and then the opening at Anaheim. Those two are incredible. Now with the playoffs, SMX playoffs, I think those are going to continue to grow, and possibly mm-hmm. one of the playoff rounds will be good, especially the last one. Yep. All right, this is the last lap on the rapid fire fan question. AB Hallett, what Supercross track was your Achilles heel and why? What was your worst condition for Supercross, RV?
Yeah, worst condition. I would say at the time, Dallas. So Arlington, Dallas, yeah. The dirt that we were racing on was very, very, very hard clay. Mm-hmm. You had so much feedback through the motorcycle. Yep. It was very slippery. Very, very technical to ride on. I hated the dirt at Dallas. I would prefer to ride any other stadium dirt except for Dallas. That was my Achilles heel. The bike didn't seem to work very well on it. Yes, I've won there on those conditions, but it was a struggle.
Yep, same. I'm exactly the same. I hated the dirt at Dallas. Loved racing there, but didn't prefer the dirt. It wasn't very forgiving, and it could reach up and bite you. I've had some I've had some incredible moments there that were some that I'd love to have forgotten. But that was it for the rapid fire fan questions. Good job, RV. That was awesome. Yeah, yeah. And as promised, we love the engagement. Thank you. We're sorry that we don't get to all of your questions. Quite frankly, this series has been too good that we can't overlook and not talk about all the great racing and the action that has been going on. And the podcast has grown, so it's much harder to get to all the questions as well. So we got to there's a lot that we had to do. But we appreciate you guys, and hopefully we're able to pay you guys back.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting into it. If you haven't yet, go over to Boxo, boxousa.com, and check them out while we get into the Boxo breakdown. An incredible company. They got everything that you need from a tool perspective. There you got the RC Signature Moto Box right there. They come in a 3-drawer or a 5-drawer. The 5-drawer actually has 3 drawers on the bottom that is open. And then if you get one, you will have my signature on there as well. But nevertheless, they got great stuff. Check them out. But for the Boxo breakdown this week, another fan question, Jeff_equipment_operator. He asks, what do y'all think about them changing how the whoops are built? No longer using a front end loader to only building them with a dozer and limiting them to no more than 9. RV, you did a lot of the heavy lifting. Okay, here's the let me take this one, and you're happy to comment, obviously.
Yep.
Want. So here's what I think about the whoops. There has we talked about it on last week's show. There has been data proven that most of the wrecks happen after the ninth whoop. I mean, I know some of you guys, all you keyboard warriors, like RV will say, you'll start chirping and you guys are going to get on me and flame me about how I know there are people who fall before the nine whoops. But the data shows that it's normally around the 11th or 12th whoop, which makes more sense if you think about it. I mean, if you fall before the ninth whoop or like the sixth whoop, something has gone very, 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 very wrong. But I think it's two sides. I'm okay with the nine whoop. Is it ideal? No. But if it's for safety, I'm all for it. Myself, selfishly, I like dozer whoops better just because they're not as steep on the face and they don't chunk out as much and they don't get cupped out as much. But I'm not racing, so my opinion maybe doesn't matter. Like I said, selfishly, if I was racing, I loved dozer whoops because of that reason. I see both sides. If you're a whoop guy, you're wanting a crap load of whoops. If you're not a whoop guy, you're loving the nine whoop strategy where you can just go 3-3-3 and you're done. Short and simple. What I do like about the shorter whoops and I've been very outspoken about this. I don't like when the whoops are separated. RV, you and I disagree on this. You liked gnarly whoops, or you liked them to be a separator, I believe you said at one time last year. I don't like that just from my position in the booth because I feel like it separates the field too much. And then we get a race where it's like, it's just you know, there's too much of a separation.
Yeah, there's a runaway.
Yeah, there's a runaway. And so from a booth standpoint, I don't like it that way. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I hated the older I got, the more I hated gnarly whoops. So I think it, you know what, like this is where it's so opinion based. As far as the facts go, the facts are that the crashes happen after the ninth whoop. So I'm happy for that for the nine whoop rule. But as far as the rest, I'm just sitting here spewing out of my mouth because it's opinions and it doesn't really matter what I like. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I liked longer whoops. I was always pretty good in them. It is a separator. You know, I think that there's ways if you have more than nine, you don't have to make them as big. Maybe make them, like you said, dozer whoops. Dragon's back, same thing. It sounds like there's not going to be dragon's backs, but the way I look at it is don't make the jump, you know, at the distance from the takeoff of the dragon's back to your landing point so far. Shrink that up to where, you know, an 85 could jump it or a 125 could jump it. Essentially make the dragon's back, make the whoops on the dragon's back a bit smaller, you know, because it just comes down. And also it comes down where you put dragon's back on, what type of condition, what type of dirt. Do you put a dragon's back, a big gnarly dragon's back at Phoenix or Daytona or at Arlington? Maybe not. Or if it's Detroit where, you know, you're going to have deep, deep ruts. Maybe you build a dragon's back that is just a mellow dragon's back that everybody eventually can just, instead of blitzing, they're going to go three up and then one off. Don't make the pockets so deep for the motorcycle to go in. So, I mean, there's different ways you can go about it. You can think about it. I know that they're talking about not doing that, or they've already decided to not do that. But I think there's ways that you could make it and still have those obstacles, because those obstacles have been around for a very, very long time. And I'm not saying we have to keep them around still, but
right.
I like dragon's back. I like longer set of whoops, but there's ways I think you can make them smaller, make them easier to where, you know, these riders aren't, you know, like the safety factor, like you said, the data shows after nine is potentially where they crash. So,
yeah, I hated them. You know, I just always did. They're a lot different. And I think the inconsistency of them was what was challenging. One weekend, you know, you could jump through them, or where they were, if they were right out of a corner RV, they were a little easier for me because I could just go like two out and over. So I didn't like the fast ones where you had to totally commit. I was just so scared that I was going to hit the top one and go over. Inherently, the supercross and motocross is dangerous, and there are going to be times where you're going to be faced with making a decision. And if that decision comes to, in my mind, if you want to sack up, if you will, and hit it with speed and go fast, but know that the backside of that is, you know, you're risking a lot more than, you know what, you know, that's the risk you take.
Yeah. You, I mean, if no you really had asked me, I'd rather jump a dragon's back or go through a long set of whoops and have to jump some massive quad middle rhythm section.
Oh yeah. 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 100. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, listen, you have choices. No one's making you do anything. Yes, there are riders that are forcing you into position that you probably yes. don't want to be in, but that could be anything. That could be, like you just said, on a quad. Great question, Jeff, equipment operator. That's our Boxo breakdown. Again, make sure you go over to Boxo USA. Check them out. We talk about it all. This is one of my favorite things, lifetime warranty. Super easy. Moving along, clicking gears, we'll talk about the schedule. There's been a lot of chatter for a Dunlop due diligence. Dunlop, Best Tires, RV, you've worked with yep. them forever. I've worked with them yep. forever. Some of the hardest working guys in the paddock. I mean, I think of Brian Fleck right off the top. Just a guy's been around forever. One of the nicest dudes in the paddock. But Dunlop, leading tire in the industry. All the top guys are using them, and we appreciate you guys, Dunlop. So they're going to be doing some fun stuff on the pod as well. They're working on that, so we'll have some information for you there. Evan Smith, 213. He asks, why is the order of racing still flipped? The racers and viewers don't seem to like it. We got some sound on tape from Glendale's winner, RJ Hampshire. Aaron, roll what RJ has to say about this.
I don't know. I don't think I think there's a lot of excitement in 250 class. Like, if you send us out first, like, it's not going to change anything. Yeah, the ratings were high for the first round, but also I feel like the ratings have been high all year. I don't know if that necessarily would have changed anything. Yeah, I mean, I don't really care for it. I would rather the other way, especially those LCQ guys. Like, dude, that was not fair. Like, for even having a red flag and then literally off the track, straight on the line. Like, that should not happen.
Mm. Yeah.
Wait.
Go ahead. Oh,
wait. No, wait. I mean, okay. The night schedule. Okay. This is why they're doing the night schedule. And most people, like, this is why they changed it. For those of you who don't know, and this was, I wouldn't even say a test, but to come out with the premier class, especially from an NBC standpoint, when we're on the big NBC. To have the premier class coming out. That's no disrespect to the 250s. That's just the way it is. It's the way it is in a lot of sports. And so I like that from a viewer standpoint, and everyone's going to benefit from that. You know, the top class coming out like that, if it draws more viewers and the ratings said that it was, yes. Well, like RJ said, I want to be crystal clear when I say this. Yes, the viewership has been up all year long, but that particular event was even better. Was it because of the 450s? I guess we'll find out moving forward. So I think that had something to do with it. Unfortunately, the most things like that are going to come with a compromise. And uh-huh. RV, that compromise is, and RJ talked about it, is the LCQ. The 250 LCQ being right on top of the 250 main. Do I agree with it? I don't think that it's ideal. Certainly not. And it's definitely not going to be ideal in a mud race. For sure.
No.
Now, I understand that RJ is saying, like, he thinks that the 250s are exciting and, like, that they bring exciting racing to the broadcast. Of course they do. No one's saying that they're not, but what should be known. And again, it's no disrespect to any of the young guys coming up. You guys are going to be 450s someday, so you'll have your time to shine at the premier level. You have to understand that the 450 class carries more weight and carries more validation from a name recognition standpoint. And again, it's not a slight towards anyone in the 250 class. I love the 250 class. It's fun. The racing is shorter. It's cool, but it's also fun. And I was skeptical of the change as well, but it is fun to come out, especially this year, to come at the top of the show and see the letting them big dogs eat.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it comes with a compromise. I don't have the answer of what I think they should do with the LCQ. I will say, does it suck to go from the LCQ to the main event? Of course. But if you guys are professional athletes, 5 extra minutes shouldn't kill you. You know, so that, I mean, you want to play hardball, let's play hardball. So that's what I think. If anyone has a suggestion, if this is going to say, if anyone has a suggestion of what they think they should do for the last chance qualifier for the 250, I'm all for it.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there's
do you like it? Do you like the change?
Now, let me ask you this to clarify. So this is the new – this change is going to be from the rest of the season on?
Oh, I don't know about that. I do know that – I don't know this. I have an idea that I feel like if the ratings prove that it's better, I would assume that it would stick around for the time being.
You look,
there's no current – listen, there's no current date to change that and make plan. It concrete. Okay. Everyone is just looking at Feld, NBC, all the powers that be, they're looking and they're playing and they're tweaking and seeing. They're analyzing how to improve. You can't fault them for that. And unfortunately the 250 last chance came at a compromise.
And I'll be honest. I know we need our privateers and I know they're good for the sport. And I know they take up, you know, they fill some spots on the gate.
Yeah,
but look, people might not like what I have to say right here, but it is what it is. If you're in the last chance, that's a rough spot to be in. If you're a factory rider or if you're just a privateer and you do have that where it basically almost overlaps, yeah, that's a tough scenario to be in. Stay out of the last chance is what I would tell my kid.
Exactly.
Don't put yourself in that position. Now, there's a lot of these privateers. They're in there every weekend. And it is tough to go back, regroup, new goggles, barely take your helmet off, get a swig of water, and get back down to the line. But that's the way it is. And eventually your body will get used to it and it won't be something new. Right now it's foreign and they don't like it. But that's just because it's new and it's foreign to their body. And I think that all goes away if this is put into play, put into motion, and this is the new way it's going to be. 1 or 2 seasons down the road, you're not going to know any difference.
Right. Dude, co-producer, old Curly, I mean JH, he says maybe move – this would be a cool suggestion, and maybe it's something to try. Not always is the KTM Junior Challenge sorry, I know they changed what that race name.
That's what it is to us, Ricky.
Yeah, that's – thank you, RC. But, hey, our producer, Bondo, he wouldn't like that. He's like, you got to get it right, RC. I'm like, okay. Maybe move the KTM Junior race after the 250 LCQ. Maybe that's a fair compromise. Gives them a little bit of time. It's not like stacked right on top of each other. Maybe, I mean, would that suffice for you guys? Some of the people that disagree with the schedule change or disagree with what the compromise was? Who knows? I kind of like that idea, but listen, man, like this is what I feel like Feld and has done a good job at. And I feel like where we have needed to be better, if you look at other leagues and organizations, RV, is I feel like we're not open to changing rules when maybe they needed to be changed, right? Like I look at NASCAR and I'm not saying they do everything right, or whether it's the NBA or NFL, they're constantly, I feel like, tweaking things to evolving. So they're trying to do that, and it's for the better of the sport. So everyone gets paid the dollars that they want to get paid, right? So I'm okay with like tweaking this, and I understand it's going to come at a compromise. Something's going to be compromised, right?
Always,
like, are you cool with it? Like just trying it?
I think so. And if you don't try it, you're not going to know if it works or
right.
not. And maybe you go back to the drawing board and say, hey, that didn't work now. But what we saw from this is like this. Now, if this is a topic and JH throws in that let's move the KTM challenge in between there. And okay, boom. If we wouldn't have made the previous move, would we know what to do now? And, you know, let's say put the KTM Junior Challenge right there and give these guys, you know, an extra 12 minutes or whatever it is.
That's right. Carrying on. All right, we're putting that to rest. Carrying on with the Dunlop due diligence. Colby Harris, I like this one. Do y'all think there should be an age limit in the 250 class since technically it's a developmental series?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Development series, yes. I've heard it been called that. I don't know if I really.
I think there needs to be tweaking, dude. I think there needs to be. I think there needs to be tweaking. I think there needs to be. The 250 class, in my opinion, and I don't have the right answers. RV, maybe you and I were talking about this at Motocross of Nations after a couple glasses of red, but. I don't know, like, is there a cap, salary cap? There's so many ways of looking at it. Is there a race number that these guys cap out at? Is there an age limit? I don't know.
This is how I look at it. Is you got Hayden Deegan, right, at 18 years old last year, 18 or 19 years old, came out and waxed all the boys that were in their 27s, 28s, 29s in the last three SMX rounds. He was the champion at the end of that three race series, right? So the way I look at it is you know, and it's ages. Yes, it's just a number. Are these guys? Do you get smarter as you get older? Yes. Do you get more mature as you get older? Yes. But we had an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid beat RJ Hampshire, or beat, you know, a lot of these older, you know, racers that are up in their mid to late 20s. You know, I think if you put an age gap on it, you take guys, you know, Jordan Smith, RJ Hampshire, Max Anstey, and you move these guys up to the 450 class. Yes, we are in a position right now that we've never been in with Triumph coming on board, with Beta coming on, and also Ducati right up to line up on the line here very shortly. So now we have some more factory seats available, but the thing is what fans maybe don't understand is the how big the jump actually is from the 250 class to the 450. You might, if RJ or Jordan Smith or Max Anstey or, you know, Austin Faulkner can't get it right in the 250 class, there's no chance they're going to get it right in the 450 class. So yes, has it taken them X amount of years to develop themselves and get more mature and mentally be stronger? Yes, it has. And that's exactly what they needed. So if you put them in the 450 class, I see them going away very quickly. But like I said, starting this conversation, Hayden Deegan won the SMX rounds overall for the 250 class and beat a lot of those older guys in the 250 class. So I look at it as like, I like it where it's at right now. I mean, these young kids, Levi Kitchen, for example, I mean, yes, he's a smidge bit older, but if you actually look at how many gate drops he has, he doesn't have very many gate drops. He's up there holding his own with these guys that are in their, you know, late 20s.
Have been doing it plenty.
Have been doing it for a very long time. So right now, if you just had it where every single race you had somebody that was RJ Hampshire, Max Anstey, and Jordan Smith that are all up in their mid-20s, late 20s, and it was just they cleaned everybody's clock every single weekend, then yes, we need to talk about implementing a rule. But right now, they can't do that.
Yep. There you go. All right, that's the Dunlop due diligence section. We had a litany of questions this week, and like I said, we were backed up on getting these back. So we appreciate Dunlop. Go check them out. Again, they got everything that you need, and the cool thing is they're grassroots. They'll be at all the amateur. They're at all the amateur races. I'm sure they're at the GNCCs as well. Set up, just a great group of people, and they work really hard. So we appreciate you, Dunlop. Thanks for being a part of Title.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World? Like, hey, we came to play. Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
24. Before we get to the quad lock question, there was two questions really quick from Colby Kemp. Why is there not a better process in place for lap riders? How can technology help? And I think that the AMA and everyone that, you know, the sanctioning bodies, they should strongly consider one-way radio communication. I use Cardo systems on my stuff. Like when we go on our adventure rides, I've used it at the goat farm when I owned it with Savachi, you know, like calling out his lap times. I mean, listen, these people are professionals. If you have a spotter that is, you know, doing your radio communication, dude, it's from a safety perspective, it works so well. As simple as, you know, Ryan, if I'm your spotter, hey, Ryan, go to the right here on this lane. There's a guy on the inside that's down. Be careful. Or, hey, Ryan, there's a lapper coming up here. Or if I am spotting for a lapper, you know, the leaders are coming up, you know, go to the inside right here.
Yeah.
Dude, it's that simple. There is no way in hell that the AMA is going to tell me otherwise, that it's not an advantage and how it could be such a safety implication to have radio communication, dude. They're not going to sell that on me.
I think, you know, I think it opens up the whole nother can of worms in a good way of letting the fans into during our practices, when we're doing, making just little tweaks to the motorcycle before the night show, before the qualifiers, before any of that, these riders that are out there in the three practices that they have, you know, the free, it's one free and two timed, and you're able to get out there and just get a little more info. You know, like you said, they make really good custom earpieces that can go in your ear. You know, the red lights, the red cross flags, all those things. I agree. One way, not to where the rider can talk and you can't get crossed in channels and all those things. I think you just have a spotter like NASCAR where it's, and you're not going to be on it a lot. To be honest, I bet you might, there might be some races that those spotters wouldn't even come over the guy's
right.
head. You know, literally could be two or three sentences in a whole 20-minute main event. Depending on what's happening on the track. But I agree. I think it's something that we need.
Yes. No, we need it.
I'd love to start experimenting with it and then tying it into Race Day Live program, potentially even the broadcast. You know, right. I know we have the capabilities of doing that. Just obviously funding and things like that. And we're going to have to test with it a little bit. I love it.
Yeah, I do too. And I love it. I think going back to what we were talking about last week about the rules, I believe you're allowed to practice with radio communication. You're just not allowed to race. I could be wrong, but I thought that there was, because it always used to blow my mind, or maybe this was just at the Monster Energy Cup race back in the day. You won the million once. I thought that they were allowing people to use radio comms during practice, just not race. I need to go back and check and see if they're allowed to use it, you know, during practice. So anyhow, all right. You know what? This is a great question this week. Quad Lock. If you haven't been to Quad Lock, go check them out. I got a new mountain bike the other day, and nice. got my new Quad Lock mount mounted up on my handlebars. Really nice. Got my phone there. Probably shouldn't have my phone there all the time, did a lot of single track in Florida, but Quadlock, great company. They're out of Australia. They got everything that you need: cases, the wallets, chargers as well. They got a desk charger, nightstand charger, you name it, they got it. I love their stuff. Go check them out at quadlockcase.com. And for the Quadlock question of the week, the winner is Efrain_103. What's it going to take to win the championship? Consistency, raw speed, or talent? I'm assuming Efrain103 is talking about the 450. So what would be your analysis on this, RV?
Well, Efrain, it's going to take all three of those, all four of those, right? You have to be consistent. You have to have the speed. I mean, you have to be able to run the speed of the top guys and win races. You can't, I mean, yes, technically, can you win a championship with maybe only a couple of race wins or yep. one or two? It's been done in the past, but it's a lot harder. But so you got to have the raw speed to win races. You got to be consistent, and you have to have the talent. And talent or being refined on the motorcycle with all the different conditions we ride, you know, having an off weekend, what I consider an off weekend when I was racing, an off weekend to me would be second to third place. It wasn't fifth through eighth. An off weekend was like I said, still there fighting for podium position every single time. If I wasn't feeling it or if the bike wasn't great on that track, I had to make do with what it was, and I had to pull through and get that machine up on the podium. So it's going to take all four of those, what I just spoke on, what he threw in for the question. You can't win this championship with this field of riders, the depth of our field right now without having all three of those things.
There you go. I agree. You know, we talked to Jason Anderson before the series started on Media Days. This is at the beginning of December, RV, and I don't know if I told you this, but he said something, and I really, you know, you take this into consideration because Anderson is one of the oldest guys out there right now that has won a championship outside of Eli. I think him and them two are close in age. But he said, like, you know, you need everything to win a Supercross championship this year. You need speed. You need starts. You need consistency. He's like, you need everything. Where maybe before, like RV back in our day, we could rely on, you know, our fitness, maybe on certain days where we weren't the fastest. But then some days we were the fastest and we had the best fitness. So, yeah. I agree exactly with what you said, and I love what Jason Anderson told us because he's exactly right. See, he's been in a stage, I feel like, where he could rely on fitness. Like, go back when he was at the Baker Factory when he won in 2018. I feel like consistency and being in shape maybe was more prevalent than having to have the speed. I mean, there was make no mistake about it. When I won my championships, I wasn't always the fastest guy. Where I do feel like this is what's gnarly about this championship this year, RV, is, dude, you have to be fast, right? And you have to be consistent, and you have to be good at starting. You know, like,
and willing to push that edge too. You know, like, and willing to ride on just below that or at that edge of making a, you know, mistake. Like, that's what these guys are doing. And I think that's one thing that we haven't really seen with Eli yet, and I'm hoping to see it. And that's why we brought up Daytona, given the bye for Arlington and Daytona. Yeah. You know, it comes to being comfortable. You have to be comfortable, but you also have to be comfortable pushing the limit. And that's what these guys are doing. And I'm hoping we're going to get that out of him, but we haven't seen it. And look where he's kind of fallen in. You know, he hasn't had some stellar weekends the last couple weekends.
Yeah, the last thing to expand on this, and this is why you win the Quadlock question of the week, Efrain, is because we were able to go in depth. And I feel like from a champion's perspective, like RV and myself, like it's a deeper thought of how you win these championships and what goes into it. And like, you can't cover up a mistake this year like you could in the past. You know, you're not just going to walk away from a sixth or a seventh place and everything's going to be okay. It's going to sting a little bit more than years past. And the history shows that, like, this is the best point series that we've seen since the mid-80s, I believe, is what Clinton Fowler from Fowler's Facts was telling us, or we went fast. Wow. So, right? So it's good. Really cool. Great stuff. Efrain underscore 103, slide into the Title 24 Instagram DM. JH will set you up with Quadlock, and then he'll pass you along the Quadlock. Quadlock will get you dialed and send you some cool stuff. Make sure you post about it, and hopefully you like it. I'm sure that you will. They make insane product. Moving along. United Motorsports, they got 6 locations in the Kentucky, Ohio region. Ray Butts is a great friend of mine. He has done a great job over there. Grassroots, they're going to be posted up. You can see their building right there. Just incredible. They got a lot of our product. You talk about Quadlock, Boxo, Dunlop. They got that in stores. You can go in store and get all of the product that we push here on Title 24 is in store. They do a $15 purchase for the first time buy-in. Remember, if you sign up, I think we got a banner right there at the bottom. Sign up to unitedmotorsports.com/Title24. When you sign up for the first time, you'll get a $15 credit to your purchase. And after that, United Motorsports is picking out a lucky winner each week that they will get. Whoever signs up, you get a one-time, you have an opportunity at a one-time $50 cash prize to go towards your purchase as well. So that's cool.
Nice.
United Motorsports, check them out. They got a great online appearance, parts and pieces, whatever you need. Make sure you go by there. So the United Motorsports moment of the week is this week. Arlington, dude, we got the 250 East back in action. They're going to be in the saddle for a while now. I think they got 5 rounds in a row, so that's going to be good. And of course, the 450, we just talked about it coming off the Quadlock question of the week. I'm looking forward to the United Motorsports moment of the week. I think it's going to be fun. Arlington is always a good one. RV, you take it away, brother.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. Good to have the East back for the 250 class. You know, like that's always like obviously once you know when we start our season, we get the West Coast and we get the 450 guys in there, and then it kind of gets on a you find your position, you find your everything kind of falls into place, and then all of a sudden we throw the East Coast involved. So I'm still excited about East Coast because we haven't had many races yet. I'm looking forward to see what Hayden's going to come out and do. How is he going to recover coming into Arlington after that, his bars being bent down, that first turn pileup? And there was a lot of guys wrapped up in that first turn pileup that took a lot of heavy hitters out of the equation for that round one. So that being said, yes, Austin rode phenomenal, but he also was kind of out there in no man's land by himself, right? So now we're going to see if all the heavy hitters get through the first turn. How's he going to handle the pressure if he's sitting up in that top spot, pulls the whole shot, or how's he going to recover if he doesn't get that start? With all the heavy hitters now involved, if they make it through the first turn, so that's what I'm kind of looking for. As the 450 class. Same. I think that we're gonna see Jet obviously be phenomenal. AP, yeah. Coop's who I think I'm gonna have my eye on. Like I said, for this weekend, yeah. I want to see what Coop can pull out. Where he's gonna, how good he's gonna be. Where he positions himself, and then moving on, looking a little bit farther forward. Eli for Daytona. Those are my two guys I'm kind of looking for. Right?
Because yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Totally. Absolutely. I think Sexton, how does he rebound with that hurt hand? That's what I'm looking forward to. Yep. All this talk about it. Aaron, roll the track map. Let's see what we got. I thought I saw it earlier this week, but let's see what we got for the track map. 90 degrees start.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Oh boy. Some shorter lanes. It looks like anytime that the start, you can see at the top of the screen is, takes up that much room. That's going to make for very short lanes after that start lane, you know? So, one set of whoops for guys that, are in the whoops, or that's their Achilles heel. They're lucky with only one set. However, I will say, I feel like Ryan, you would know better because you've raced there more currently than I have, that those whoops there are not very forgiving because of the dirt, correct?
Yeah, they can be. They can be. So the good thing about what Dirtworks does is we do get the dirt kind of changed out, right? Like I've seen that in the past, right? Where you'll show up and you might have a set of the dirt there for 2 or 3 or 4 years, and then all of a sudden you'll come up and they have a new blend or a new mixture. Maybe they just bought new dirt, or if it rains, or they have too much sand mixed into. So we'll see. I believe the dirt has been getting better over the years at Arlington. It's not so rock hard. But yeah, if you have big whoops, I hope they build big whoops. It does make it, that's part of Supercross for me. So I'd like to see some medium to bigger whoops, cause it does separate the field. But if we're making 9 now, you can go 3-3-3. We'll see.
I think there'll be more than 9 with that one set. Yeah. I think there'll be more room there to put 9, I think. So maybe 11. Who knows? We'll check it out. Here's a little preview of what's cooking for if you want to tune into NBC or Peacock. There you go. Race Day Live starts Saturday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern. That'll be live on Peacock, or the Super Motocross Video Pass, as you know. Pre-race show starts on Peacock at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. That'd be 5:30 Central Time. And as always, every Thursday, as you know, we got the SMX Insider Show. And then the big dance starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. It'll be live on Peacock, of course, and that is SMX Round 7. It's going to be a lot of fun for you guys, and I'm excited. Arlington is always fun. RV, you talked about it. Dude, the 450 class has just been insane. It's going to be fun to tune in. Everybody make sure they do that. Remember, if you're only listening to us and you're not watching Title 24, we are on all apps across the board. You name it, we're on all platforms. So make sure you check out all podcast platforms. And then we're always on Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page, as well as we're live on Peacock. Where you can, if you haven't seen past episodes, you can go back on Peacock and watch episodes from behind. Like, you want to talk about the rules that we talked about last week's episode, you can go watch last week's on Peacock. So we appreciate everybody. Again, all of our partners: United Motorsports, Quad Lot Case, Boxo USA, and of course Dunlop Tires. RV, great job on the rapid fire fan questions. That was good. Fans, thanks for all the engagement. Keep sending those questions. Download that podcast and get into our Instagram pages and get that interaction. We appreciate it. And we will see you next week.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Let's go. Give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.